Good morning, everybody. Today is the 3rd of June 2019, and I thought I would do this little bonus podcast in between Fridays because I can and because I have the time, and because another podcast has given me food for thought. Interestingly, that's part of their name, but anyway, I've been listening to a Slimming World Food for Thought podcast, which they have. They are quite established now after half a year. They're doing amazingly. And I thought, have I shared my real story here before? And I don't think I have. In terms of my weight loss and, no, my weight as a whole. And how it impacted me. And it made me think of a blog post I wrote quite a few years ago. And I think I titled it, In the Shoes of a Fat Person. Overweight person. I don't like the word fat because it's got such negative connotations, which is why I'm really not keen when people call it Slimming World the Fat Club, because I just don't think it's very nice, and it should, you know, be termed something a lot more positive. But anyway, this is not a weight loss podcast, but I did feel like the need of talking about my journey and about, you know, what I've been through, because I think it does tie in with being kind to yourself. And being kind to yourself is key, and that's my kind of message. But also being kind to other people and not judging. So back to that blog post I wrote. Really, I don't know how many years ago. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. It was after my gastric bypass, so it was where I've already been. No, I wouldn't say on the other side of obesity, because I'm not. I'm still not on the other side of obesity, but where I've lost the bulk of my weight, and I wasn't morbidly obese anymore. I think at that point I actually was quite slim. So it doesn't matter really what stage you are in this journey. But I, at that point, wrote a very thought-provoking blog. And if I can find it again, I could possibly share it here. I don't know, in the links. But basically, I was talking about how easy it was to judge a person with weight issues. Because you can see their problem from a mile off. Because you can see when they have excess weight on them. And how, you know, I pointed out that it's just another coping mechanism, another vice, if you will, just like smoking, just like drinking, just like buying compulsively, you know, shopping for shoes and handbags and clothes or whatever, just like drugs, you know, that in a way food was my drug, but obviously you can't stop eating, so it's even harder to get rid of this crutch, if you like. And I said, you know, in this blog, I was talking about how people judge you when you're overweight. But I always said, look, you need to, you know, there's always something behind it. There's always something that happened in that person's past that made them become like that. There's something, you know, I said the same thing when Amy Winehouse died a couple of years ago. I said she did not just wake up one morning saying, I'm gonna take some drugs, I wanna fancy, you know, becoming an addict. Now, that sounds quite drastic, but it is true. I don't wake up one day and think, oh, you know what, I love food. I'm just gonna get addicted to food. I love food. I'm gonna eat cake until I look like it. I want to gain all the weight. I want to be, you know, eating everything I want. Actually, I did see a video of a lady who wanted to be 30 stone, and it shocked me. No, was it £400 or £500 or even more? I can't remember now. And I found that quite shocking. But generally, people do not do that. People don't wake up and say, do you know what? I am going to eat everything in sight just because I fancy it and I don't care what the consequences. With regards to me, it kind of, I was always a bit chubby because I wasn't very active as a child. I would be the child who would be listening to my nan telling me about her childhood before the war and during the war, rather than running around playing. I would be the child who sat for hours reading or listening to my surroundings in the garden, to the neighbours chatting, to people working in their gardens. I'd sit there for hours just pondering and dreaming and just doing nothing. I was a very inactive child. I used to love listening to music, doing nothing. And everything I was doing, all my play, was very, very sedentary, which is really bizarre for a child. My sister was the opposite, and my family were the opposite, because they're all very sporty. So I've always been a little bit on the chubbier side, I guess. But then I went to boarding school, and I thought my life would be complete. You know, I got away from a very, very negative situation in my previous school. So I went to a boarding school thinking I'm going to be popular, I'm going to have friends. And it turned out, because I had issues even back then, unfortunately, and I don't want to go into these issues, I think that's a complete different podcast, which I'm going to have to do, but it's going to have to come with a warning. But I had deep, deep issues, deep mental issues, and people found me a bit strange, found me a bit bizarre, found me a bit hard to get on with, found me a bit different, found me a bit, like, just weird. And I didn't have the friends that I envisioned when I moved to boarding school. And so when I was 14, nearly 15, I decided that while other people were going from school back home with their friends, or back to their respective boarding groups rather, I didn't have a lot of people to walk home with, or really no one. So I decided food was going to become my friend. So I went to the nearest bakery and I bought 4 buns, German, because I was obviously in Germany at the time, German little cake buns. So not, you know, not big cakes, but just like cake slices or donuts or just little buns like that. And I'd have all 4 of them while walking and while waiting on the bus stop for my bus. You know, there would be nothing left by the time I got to my home, to my boarding group. Likewise then, if it was my turn to go buy things for the group, I would always take my own wallet, which, you know, I was allowed to do, because there was a lot of emphasis on being independent, even for blind people, in that boarding school. And I went and bought my own stash of chocolate and sweets and, you know, I think there was Coke involved, like the fizzy stuff, not the drugs, obviously. It was Coke, you know, that I bought, or other fizzy drinks, you know. And then the other thing was that when it was found out that I kept gaining weight when I was 15, 16, 17, my family, bless them, I don't think they knew what to do. So my weight was like the only topic on the weekends when I got home. And it was pretty grim, and it was close to bullying. And, you know, I think this is a completely different subject again, but I think if you're a parent, do you know what? I'm not blaming my family anymore, because they can't give what they don't have. They were quite sporty. My sister was quite sporty, and I was just so different that they didn't know what to do. So I don't blame them anymore. But I think if you are a parent, the best thing to do is to sit down with your child and say, hey, look, what's going on? In your emotions, what's going on? Because I'm noticing you're piling on the weight, and I'm a bit concerned about you. And just, you know, lovingly talk to them. And if they're ready to open up, then they will. But if not, then do you know what? Love them, support them. And I think if you have a good rapport with them, then they will tell you in the end. That's what I believe now. But anyway, at that point, I didn't have a good relationship with them. And so after coming home from a visit to them for the weekend, I would roll my suitcase from the train station, not back to the boarding group straight away, but to McDonald's to have 2-3 burgers and fries and ice cream. And then I would go back to group and say, look, I'm not hungry. You know, when they offered me, you know, evening meal. So that's how it started. But it started because of loneliness. It started because there were so many changes and I couldn't cope and I wasn't popular. And I did have other issues as well, alongside my being overweight. Some of those issues still rear their ugly heads today. They do. Very rarely, but they still do. And again, I'm going to make a different podcast about that at some point, and I will warn you when it comes to it, because some might find it a bit, you know, a trigger. So I won't, you know, go into it right now. But there were other things happening alongside that. And I'm not going to go any deeper into it. But basically, food became my comfort. Food became my comfort when I was lonely, when I was stressed, when I was depressed, when I was anxious, I would eat. The only time I wouldn't eat was when I was really scared of something. There was a time when I was in my exchange and in England, and we did something slightly naughty, and I was called to the, not the principal as it were, but the head of I think lodging or something, to his office, and he was quite a strict Scotsman, and at that point I really really did not want to eat, which meant that was definitely a problem. If I don't eat, there's definitely something wrong. So that's how my issue with weight started. Again, going back to that blog post, you have to ask yourself, you don't know what is going on in that person's life. You don't know why they're doing what they're doing. You don't know why they get drunk every weekend or even during the week. You don't know why they're compulsively buying. You don't know unless you ask. Obviously, if you're not close to the person, you can't necessarily pry. But seriously, we all have coping mechanisms. We all have things that we are battling. We all have things that we reach for when things get tough. Some people even, and I've been down that road as well, because sometimes you shift your addiction from one thing to the other. But it's still an addiction. For a while, I couldn't eat as much because of my gastric bypass, so I chose exercise. And I was compulsively running and exercising. And when I got injured, I was so angry at everybody who said to me, you're just going to have to rest. You're just going to have to rest now. I was really fuming about that because exercise had become my crutch, just like food did. And then it went back to food because of the injuries and of, you know, other things. So it's just shifting the crutch. But actually what we need to do is find out why are we doing it, and then and being kind to ourselves, because again, I believe that overeating, overdoing anything is self-harm. It's self-harm, it's self-loathing, it's self punishment, really, because in the long term these things will not serve you, they will hinder you. That's my story with food. And obviously when I came here to England, it just escalated because I had a hubby who was too soft to say anything. Bless him, he loved me the way I was. But I, you know, because I was very confrontational with him, he would just rather get me the treats than confront me about my issue. And I would be sitting in front of a computer tweeting, and my life and my friends were on Twitter, and I would have this massive bowl of M&Ms next to me, and they would be gone by the end of the, you know, by the end of the evening, after of course having a big meal as well. And of course the more I ate, the more I didn't want to move, the more I didn't move, the more weight I piled on, and that's the cycle. And you know, it became just this massive issue. And I will be more than blunt with you, at the end of it, I was nearly 150 kilograms, which is nearly £330. And for my height, which is 5'2", that was just extreme. And I was, you know, I was type 2 diabetic. I had high cholesterol. I had sleep apnea. I couldn't walk for 5 minutes without excruciating lower back pain. I just hated walking. I hated walking. Yeah, 2 weeks ago I did a 20-mile walk for breast cancer. So basically, I love walking now, even though the terrain was horrendous. But yeah. So things were really bad, and which is why exactly, you know, I tried everything else. Admittedly, I'm thinking if I had tried Slimming World, possibly I could have avoided having the gastric bypass, but then maybe not, because I wasn't in the right place at the time. I think I just didn't stick to anything. So there's no need to go what if, I wish I had done it this way, because you know what, our journey is there because, you know, we can help other people with it. So eventually I did, after many diets and dietitians and hospital visits and whatnot and weigh-ins at the doctors, I eventually was referred to the bariatric team, and I had the gastric bypass. And even then, afterwards, after I would say the honeymoon period of like a year and a half was over, I piled on the weight again, and I had to go back to, I tried 9-day cleansers and clean eating, and you know, the battle started again. Why? Because I think when I had the gastric bypass, my mindset was just not, I was thinking, even though I was like, I said to everyone, it's a tool, it's not a quick fix, it's, you know, I know I have to work with it. But that was in my head until the hard battle began again, and then I just like thought, oh well, you know, I'm fixed. Back to old habits I went. So, and now I'm unpicking very gently that little kind of mindset of, you know, oh, you know what, it doesn't matter, I'm fixed, or I have a gastric bypass, I can't eat much anyway. You know, all these excuses that are piled up, I'm gently unpicking them, thinking, are they actually hindering me, or are they really helping me? And most of them are actually hindering me. All of them are actually hindering me. And, but at the same time, being kind to myself, because those mindset shifts and those changes do not happen overnight. So, you know, sometimes I still eat too much. Sometimes I still eat the wrong things. But I think it's just shifting that mindset. And so that's part of my story. So basically, going back again to that blog post, I pointed out that, you know, I gave my examples as a scenario. I said, imagine you are, you know, a teenager and you have no friends. You see everybody else go back home in their cliques, having a laugh together. You walk back from school alone. You feel lonely. What do? You walk into the nearest bakery and you have food because it gives you that comfort at that point that you need. And, you know, I gave that example of, imagine your family would, and I'm sorry to say it, bully you about your weight the whole weekend, and you come back to boarding school exhausted, thinking, I'm finally free again to do what I want, so you go to McDonald's because all they've done trying to motivate you was to make you feel even lower. And when you feel low, you eat, because that is your coping mechanism, right? And you know, this is the same thing. If you make yourself feel guilty for something you've eaten, you're gonna want to eat more. That's why I'm saying, if we can get rid of the guilt, I think we can get rid of a lot of stuff that we're doing to ourselves. Yeah, so anyway, sorry, I just had a bit of a mind wave then. Sorry about that. I wish I could trim that podcast, but I haven't learned to do that yet. So anyway, that's how you do it. That's how, if you get rid of the guilt, that is how you can become free of, you know, the feelings that make you feel like you want to eat more. So I gave all these examples and I said, imagine that, you know, that's how it started. You know, so don't judge someone because they've got a couple of pounds on. First of all, you know, some people medically gain weight because of their medication. But that wasn't the case in my, that wasn't the case at all in my life. But people do gain weight from medication. And even if not, they self-medicate with food because there's a deeper issue. So let's not judge one another because we all have these things, don't we? Instead, let's kill the guilt. And, you know, kill the guilt, kill the judgment and the kind of you should be looking this way, you know, model type figure, whatever. Accept everyone as they are. Most importantly, accept yourself as you are. And, you know, like, people won't come into a house that is a bit derelict and crumbling going, ah, this is worthless, but let's do it up. They are looking at it saying, my gosh, this has so much value, let's do it up. So if you see yourself as this house that is beautiful, but it just needs a bit of work, but it's got loads of value, you're going to work on yourself. Whereas if you go, it's just not worth it, I'm not worth it, guess what? Builders who look at a house and go, not worth it, do you think they're going to do something to it? No. You've got to value yourself first before you can do something with your life and make the changes. So that is my podcast for the day. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If it's obviously, I'm not expecting, you know, you to comment me with personal stories. That is not my business, but I would love to hear from you in terms of your thoughts about what, you know, about guilt, what good guilt can do holding you back, really, and what, maybe if you want to share, what is your coping mechanism? I'm not asking for the backstory, but I'm just curious, what is your coping mechanism? And then let's kill the guilt, let's kill the judgment about it, and then, you know what, embrace yourself as you are, because you are unique, you are, you know, God made you just perfect. And when you believe that, you then feel you're worth every work you put into yourself. Hope that makes sense. I'm going to stop waffling. Thank you for listening. If you are listening, please leave me a comment. I'm still getting used to this podcast and this app, but you're more than welcome to just message me on Facebook. I'm Ines Higgins. This picture should be the same on here. I hope it is anyway. I can't see it because I'm visually impaired. Twitter, I'm sharing my episodes to Twitter all the time. I'm Determined Ines on Twitter. That's DETERMINEDINES on Twitter. And I think I've got an inbox on here as well, so feel free to message me in any way you feel comfortable. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.